Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please visit our website at newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Now here's Pastor Michael with this week's message in Matthew, In a Fix, Get Fixed. The title of the message today is In a Fix, Get Fixed. Jesus is the same, the Bible says, yesterday, today, and forever. It says that in the book of Hebrews. But we tend to put limits on Jesus and his spirit, don't we? There are denominations that will say the gifts were for the early church, and the gifts are not for today. Then there are other denominations that are so charismatic, it scares everyone away because they bark like dogs, they have holy laughter, and other interesting theologies that are not found in the Bible. And I've been part of both of those types of denominations, and I've sat in both those types of churches. I have brought forth this message to both of those camps for many years. And I say it again like I said it when I taught Acts. I'm not looking for people to just sit there on their hands and say God has no power in this world today. Like I'm not looking for everyone in the church to pray in tongues, have an ultimate healing ministry, or go to the streets of Greensburg and evangelize. But all I have said is why not be open to God's Spirit and what He desires to do with you personally? Because we need to stop putting God in a box. Don't you think if you're saved, God will protect you and not have you speak in some demonic tongue? Because yes, I will admit there are some crazy things going on in mainline denominations nowadays. God's Spirit supposedly telling a pastor to heal someone of cancer by kicking him in the face with a biker boot. People being led around on leashes by other people while they bark. Gold dust flying out of the sky and appearing out of nowhere in people's hair. And I do believe there are some over-emotional things that take place. But on the other side, I see people afraid to ask for a filling of God's Spirit. We can't put God in a box. And we can't let our fears stand in the way of what God could do. So all I'm saying is, be open to what God would have you do and be biblical about it. Because I've seen amazing things take place because of this. People who are open to the movement of God's Spirit and not sitting back and being afraid of what could happen. Then individuals in all different denominations doing amazing things for the Lord. And no matter if we are sick, hurt, broken, whatever it is, God can fix it in some way to make your life more fulfilled. Now we're in the book of Matthew today. We're going to be starting in verse 21 of chapter 4, if you're following along in your Bibles. It says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 21, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat, and their father Zebedee preparing their nets, Jesus called them. These four will be inner circle for Jesus. Jesus took them to the most intimate parts of his ministry. Verse 22. And immediately, their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. That's very important there. The language uses all a lot here. So all of Galilee, all the synagogues, healing all. Jesus knows the outcome. As he saw the hurt, the brokenness, the sickness, he understood one day all of it would be healed and complete the kingdom to come. He preached and ministered, but also had the finished work in mind throughout that time. Verse 24. news about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. That's awesome news. All word of mouth. No TV, no radio, no satellite radio, no podcast, no internet, and news spread. I remember the first year that I came here, I was going around to all the stores and putting up posters. I was going to the newspaper and having them advertise whenever I had an event. I was doing all that, and nobody was coming. But then all of a sudden, people in the church started doing word of mouth. Hey, we're having this event. We're doing this. And with the word of mouth happening, people actually started to come. It's pretty awesome. There are distinctions in the healings here because there were no institutions back then. So we have in this the diseased, the sufferers of severe pain, the demon-possessed, people with seizures, paralytics, and the best part is, and this is the greatest part, he healed them all. So in the Greek there is also the word lunatic, and there's a distinction between a lunatic and a demon-possessed person. Lunatic, the word there, means seizures. It means moonstruck in the Greek. Though there are no sociological reasons for full moon syndrome statistically, emergency wards and hospitals, interestingly enough, are fuller during those cycles, and they don't know why. The other word, demon-possessed, is in that as well, and the word is tormented. Tormented with fear, grief, bitterness, lust, and can't control those things. It's the same Jesus then and now. Yesterday, today, and forever. He healed all of them. There's beauty in seeing someone get healed. And God does heal today, and I've seen it and was part of those healings firsthand, not in the power, but just by the asking. Demon possession is real today, as it is back then. I've seen demon possession in its worst forms, and I've seen it in subtle and dangerous ways. Let's look at some facts for a moment. Matthew chapter 4 says, "Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." So here's a question. How could the devil give all the world away if he did not have temporary power over that world? What this verse is saying is God allows Satan to have power over this world for the short time that he has. The devil couldn't give something that he did not have to give. "All this I will give you," he said. The greatest part of this verse is later in Matthew. It says Jesus cares more for the soul, like in Matthew 16:26, than the whole universe, which Satan was trying to give him. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were in nature deserving of wrath." So question, why is Paul referring to the ways of this world as gratifying our own selfish desires, and also saying if you follow the ways of this world, you follow the ruler of the kingdom of the air, which that of course is Satan? Because Paul is saying there is a right way of living and there is a wrong way of living. The way a believer lived before salvation and a way they live with God's Spirit inside them after salvation. What is the way of the world? Being disobedient to God, gratifying our cravings and our views, following our own sinful desires and thoughts, in our sin, deserving of wrath. And he says here, you are following the devil and not Jesus here specifically. There is a change that takes place as we get saved and walk in Christ. We get saved. We get converted. We become born again. God's Spirit dwells in us and begins to speak to us. Then this is the part some people skip in life, which is dangerous. They don't build on the relationship. They don't read their Bibles. They don't go to church. They don't pray. They don't feed their spirits. So how would you know the differences in gratifying the flesh if you don't study what it is? How do you know the differences between sin and light if you don't bother to read about it? How do you know if the lifestyle choices and ways of this world you defend are right or wrong if you aren't reading and understanding the ways of God? We feed our spirit the same way we feed our physical bodies. Prayer, the Bible, going to church and worshiping are all as vital as food, water, and exercise. Many individuals today are atrophied in their walks because they have no clue that they're starving themselves. 1 John chapter 3 verses 8 through 10 says this, "The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them, and they can't go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister." So question, why is John saying there are two distinctions? There are children of God and there are children of the devil. Because there are two kingdoms. There's one of light and one of darkness. And guess who rules the dark kingdom? When people say we are all God's children, that's actually a bunch of baloney and it's not biblical. Jesus said you are not God's child unless you're saved and you obey him. If not, he says, those who aren't saved and disobedient are the children of the devil who rules over this world at this time. So people either belong to one kingdom or they belong to the other. There's no middle ground in Christianity. So what does the Bible say makes you a citizen of the kingdom of light? That you are saved, you are born again, your eyes and ears were open to the truth because Jesus said some people are blind to it. Hence the song, Amazing Grace. You are walking habitually in the light and doing the things of God, growing and maturing in him, not based on yourself, but on him. And the word also says in John chapter 8, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God, God's child, will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. So to further understand, if you don't have Jesus, then you're susceptible to the wiles of the ruler of this world, the devil, which can lead to many horrible issues in your life. Now back to sickness and demon possession. There are things in this world that have a lot to do with the devil. I've seen people all out messed up and foaming at the mouth, filled with a demon and messed up crazy. Then I've seen the subtle things. thoughts of depression, thoughts of suicide, simple lust and porn turning into rape and murder, which God can heal the demonic, and God can heal the sickness or disease. But the greatest healing anyone can receive is deliverance through the repentance of accepting Jesus as Lord of their lives, then starting a walk with Him in prayer, Bible reading, church worship, fellowship, and surrender. Verse 25. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed Him, setting the stage for the Sermon on the Mount. Follow Me. I will make, like we talked about last week. Now here's the issue, though. Multitudes followed Him, and that's good. I mean, it's good when multitudes follow Jesus, but multitudes, as they were being changed, some didn't like that, and they left. Multitudes that were following Him weren't surrendering, and they fell away. Multitudes followed, but when they were adding to their own thoughts and theologies to Jesus, that caused problems in the third century church. And we even see that today. We see someone, and they come to church, and they're there maybe for a couple of weeks, and they come, and they hear the message, and they're like, I don't know, I don't like what I'm hearing. Yeah, it's making me uncomfortable. It's making me think that I need to change. No, you don't need to change. You need to have God's Spirit in you, and then He will change you. That's how that works. See, it's follow Me and surrender, which means at some point you will get to a difficult part of your walk. And it comes down to, will I give that up and surrender it fully to Him? Or will I ignore it, or even get angry it's there and lash out at the pastor or the person who shares that part of the word with me? Because follow Me, I will make you is 100% deal. It's not 50%, not 75%, not even 99%. And being a believer at times is difficult. And it is honestly difficult for me when I share the truth with someone and they don't like it. Then I'm on the end of it on Facebook usually. And Jesus is patient with us. He wants you to know the truth, but He is also patient. And I will be patient too, though it's more difficult for me than Him, because He knows the results. So let's make a deal. I, as a biblical preacher, will tell you what the Word says. And if you're going against it, that's basically between you and God. But I will pray for you. I will be patient. And in turn, don't stuff it down my throat on social media and behind my back, because I'm sharing what the Bible says with you. And guess what? I'm getting conviction from other things you aren't, and I need to change too as we go through the Bible together. But as a pastor, I'm called to teach you the whole Bible. Not just the fluffy, good blessing stuff, but also the hard stuff too. So at times you will be convicted. Guess what? At times, I will be convicted. And at times, we will both be convicted together. And I'm not going to rip you apart about it on social media either. There were 12 of us in a Bible study, and we were very close. All of us before salvation, a hippie girl, two metalheads, one artist, a married military couple, a six-figure couple, one woman from the ghetto, another rough married couple, and me, a mess. And I hung out in some of the places the married metalheads hung out in. And I tell you, if I met them back then, I would have never gotten along with them. There was one thing that connected all of us. That was Jesus. And we were all doing something. Follow Me, I will make. And He made us more and meshed us together as friends. Jesus removes all distinctions. What a crowd. You've got demon-possessed, lunatics, sick, pained, depressed, all getting saved and following Jesus, and He heals them all. And He heals today. When people were in a fix, God fixed. I've seen it. Placing body parts back where they weren't in the first place. Removing bad cells and making good cells to heal cancer. Allowing someone who can't walk to walk again. Even raising the dead. Or answering prayers like providing the impossible in a possible way. Financial, providing transportation, giving a job to someone who was way underqualified, giving a couple a baby when they were told they never could have one. But you could gain every finance, receive every healing, receive every blessing, have a perfect and happy life, then die, go before the judgment seat, and spend eternity without Christ in hell for all eternity. The most important thing of all is asking Jesus into your life and allowing His Spirit to take your dead spirit and bring it to life. If Jesus only blessed you with salvation and nothing else, it would always be enough. That is the greatest healing of all. That's why He's called the Great Physician. So maybe you're in a fix today. Maybe there's stuff going on. I'll tell you this, the church is in a fix right now. But you know what our superintendent recommended? Pray. Pray. Even fast, if you can fast. Pray. Seek the Lord. Find out what God wants to do. And as you seek the Lord, He will give us answers. You know, and that's the funny part about God, is that God, if you are not following Him, He may do something. He may take everything away. You know, because you may be thinking, I'm 100% obedient to the Lord. I'm 100% trusting Him. I'm 100% walking in Him. And God may say, oh yeah? Well, I'm going to take away your finances. I'm going to take away your stability. I'm going to take away everything that makes you comfortable. And the only thing that you're going to have left is Me. And you're going to have to stand on Me. And you're going to have to completely trust Me. You're going to have to completely believe in Me. Be obedient to Me. And as you do, I will bless. I will take care of you. That's what He says. I mean, that's what He says throughout the Bible. He says, you know, He will take care of us. You know, but there's a cost to that. There's no cost to being saved. No cost to inviting Jesus Christ in your heart. But then after that, there is a cost. You know, people are like, well, your salvation's a free gift, and making Him your Savior is a free gift. Yeah, that's true. But afterwards, there's a cost. And the cost is laying down your cross, taking up your cross, and following Him. You need to take up your cross and follow Him. That's a difficult thing. Taking up my cross to follow Him. Fully and trusting in Him. As He takes everything away. And says, you don't have anything anymore. Now you have to trust Me. I trust Him though. Do you trust Him? If you don't trust Him, maybe you're not spending enough time with Him. Maybe you're not in prayer. Maybe you haven't read the promises that He has for you in his word and sat down and just read those promises. Read, you know, Genesis, or read 1st and 2nd Samuel, or read the Gospels, or read Proverbs or Psalms. Just sat and get alone with him. You know, sit under a tree and just open your Bible and enjoy the day and read and spend time with him. Maybe you haven't been in church for a while. You know, because there's people out there who, you know, they get busy. You know, this is what I'm doing today, and I'm not going to church. Church isn't as important as what I'm doing today. And hey, what's more important? Getting to know God who created you? You'll be spending eternity with him? Or maybe you won't be, I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. So like I said, I'm here to tell you, this is what you need. You need to be saved. You need to accept Jesus as your Savior and also as your Lord. Then as you follow him, you are to build a relationship with him, and that is through prayer, Bible reading, worship, and church. Getting to know him. So if you're in a fix, and you will be at some point, where you need healing, where you need your finances taken care of, where you need safety because you're in a dangerous situation, where you need him to speak to you, and you, if you have that connection with him, then he will speak. If you don't have that connection, and you're caught up in the busyness of this world and your own thoughts and your own selfish desires and what you want, you won't hear him. So my hope is that you'll hear him today. And if you're in a fix today, I hope that it gets fixed. Let's pray. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would be with those who are in a fix today, Lord, that they need fixed. I pray, Father, that you would minister to them and help them. Lord, I pray, Father, that the most important thing, that we would get a focus, that we would understand what's more important in this world, that the things of God are more important than the things of this world, that our happiness and our joy does not come from any other thing but you, that the void that we think that we can fill with everything else can only be filled with Jesus. So Lord, I pray that you would do that. Help us to remember that now, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please visit our website at newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Click on the social media button, and you can find many different ways to connect with Jesus as well as with our services. We have, of course, church every week. We have a Facebook page. We have a weekly blog. And we also have, of course, our podcast, which you're listening to now. And you can subscribe or just choose to listen to whatever episodes you feel like listening to. Thank you very much. Everyone, have an awesome day and an awesome week in the Lord. And don't forget, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.